السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. Dear brothers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us many examples in the Quran to reflect on and to try and understand our reality, who we are, the reality of this dunya, the reality of our connectedness with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our relationship with Him, who we are in reference to who He is to us. So as we just heard, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives an example of the greatness and the magnificence of the Qur'an, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, were this Qur'an to be revealed on a mountain, it would crumble, because it would know the greatness of this Qur'an, it would crumble out of khashya, out of awe and fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that whose words are these? The example is given of a mountain because when we look around, the strongest and biggest things we see on this earth are mountains. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that there are mountains, and that's just one example, that the strongest of what you know crumbles out of what? Out of fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because it recognizes and knows who Allah is and what is the weight of the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that example is given so that we may know that when we read or we hear the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what effect does it have on my heart? Does it feel that same awe, that fear, that khashya? Feel the might of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, feel hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wish for His mercy, feel gratitude, feel fear for disobeying Him. Because if it doesn't, then it implies that our hearts are harder than mountains. See, the whole universe, not just mountains, are in awe and fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The whole universe, the angels, the greatest of angels, Jibreel alayhi salam, when he presents himself in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's like a little bird. Out of, why is that? Because he knows who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent down His word, and He has mandated or ordered for us acts of worship. The first of which is salah. And we have sawm, we have zakah, we have hajj, we have reading of the Quran, we have dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All of them were ordered for us with a purpose, that with through these a person should feel an effect. There should be an effect on the heart of the person. This is not just a routine, you know, that we get into the habit that we do salah. And the way you feel, your qalb feels before you do the salah and after you finish the salah is the same. Because as we know, all of these acts have certain effect in the unseen world. For example, we have mentioned before, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam teaches us that wudu washes away sins. So if it's washing away sins, it should have an effect. You take dirty clothes and you wash them, and you take them out of the wash, you see a difference. So when we go into the wash of wudu and come out, we should feel a difference. Because some of the stains of the smaller sins should be gone if the wudu is done properly, with reflection. And therefore we should feel better. We should feel cleaner, spiritually clean, which means we should see things differently. Similarly, what happens with salah? With salah, sins are forgiven. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us, that the effect of salah 5 times a day is like the same example, taking a bath 5 times a day. Like the leaves falling off a tree, the sins fall off. Therefore, after salah, we should feel the state of our qalb should be slightly different. Similarly, what happens with sawm, with Ramadan? What does he tell us? Whoever stands in the night of Ramadan, imanan, wahtisaban, with belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and certainty of his rewards, all his sins are forgiven. Man sama Ramadan, who fasts all day, same thing, imanan, wahtisaban, his ghufr Allah, his sins are forgiven. If that's what happens from Ramadan, again, we should feel the difference. Similarly, we go for Hajj. Whoever goes for Hajj, we are told, and Hajj Mabrur, he comes home as if he was born that day from his mother. All sins forgiven. So if the acts of ibadah are done with the right way, externally, how we perform it with our bodies, and internally with the right frame of mind, not just as a routine, then it has to have an effect on us. And when it produces tahara of the heart, then the way we speak changes, the way we look changes, the way we behave changes. So a person should see the effect. These are the benefits of acts of ibadah. And every act of ibadah, excuse me, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has linked to taqwa. That you do this, you will gain taqwa. You do this, you will gain taqwa. Means when we have that cleansing or cleaning of our hearts, it will take us closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We become more aware of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are conscious more of the time of Him. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is alimul ghaib wa shahada, alimul sirra wa akhfa. He knows everything that's open. He knows everything that's unseen. He knows everything that's secret. He knows everything that's even before secret. Everything is known to Him, and therefore we become aware of our actions and what we do and say even more. Okay. So we have to analyze ourselves, just like when you do work, you see what was the result. I made effort. What did I produce at work, in studying? You know, I studied for an exam. How much did I study? And what did I gain? Similarly, after every act of ibadah, after every wudu, after every salah, after every psalm, after every reading of the Qur'an, you should reflect, did it change the state of my heart? Did something change? And a person truly, when we become trained, we feel lighter after this. Lighter, why? Because a great burden has been removed. What is the burden? The burden of sin. The biggest burden that we carry is the burden of sin. We are told that on that day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, on the day of Qiyamah, nobody will carry anybody else's burden. We are not talking about luggage. We are talking about the burden of sin. Because this is what's going to put people down. As Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, for a kafir, he commits a sin, it's like he feels like it's a little fly on his nose. Anytime he wants, he can do this little fly. Whereas if a believer commits a sin, he feels like it's a mountain sitting on his head, that I'm going to be crushed by it. So if we do the acts of ibadah properly, sins are washed away. We should feel lighter in a way. We should feel relieved. We should feel more energized. You know, I have committed, I have done an act of obedience. And every act of obedience takes us closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Again, as we know, every time we commit a sin, that moves us further away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every time a sin is washed away, that takes us closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What does it mean? We're not talking about physical. It means spiritually our ruh feels more connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It becomes more aware of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wants to do more good things, inclined towards more good things, towards more generosity, towards better akhlaq, towards more tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, towards more ittiba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It feels inclined. That's why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explains just about salah when he says, "Ju'ilat qurratu 'ayni fi salah." You know, the coolness, the pleasure of my eyes is in salah. He tells Bilal radiallahu an, call the adhans, give us coolness in our hearts. That now something we are going to do which is going to improve the condition, how I feel. Okay. So we have to treat each opportunity we get. Every time the wudu breaks, I should feel the joy, oh, I'm going to do wudu again, another opportunity. Every time the adhan is called, I should feel that joy. Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has called me back to stand in front of another opportunity. You see, if you get invited by a VIP or VVIP or whatever, you know, Prime Minister, President, what do most people feel? They prepare, they put on their best clothes, they get 5 times a day, Rabbul Alameen is calling us into his hadara, into his presence. Come to me. We should feel that. And that's why it is, as we say in the Quran, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about the munafiq, they come to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lazily. Because anybody who understands what this salah is, and who am I in audience with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, cannot come lazily. He has to come with enthusiasm, with joy, looking forward to it, energized. And as long as he is there, he doesn't want to leave, and therefore he doesn't do these acts hurriedly. Let me get it over with and run. Because you don't want to leave. Musa alayhi salam was asked, "Oh Musa, what is in your hand?" What is the simple answer? "I have a stick or a staff in my hand." He says, "Ya Allah, I have this. I do this with it. I do this with it, I break the leaves with it for my things, I heard my thing, and I he is telling every part, what is this?" Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows all this, he asked him. Because he doesn't want to leave the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he is maximizing that opportunity. Okay. So every time we get that opportunity, we should maximize it. Because the more we are in the true presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the nearness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more joy it should give our hearts. That's why I should be sort of sad to leave. You know, our true emotions should be when I hear, I have to go to salah, I feel happiness, and when I leave salah, I should feel sadness. And generally what happens to most of us when salah is coming, "I have to do," means, oh, it's a burden that I have to fulfill. And when I, alhamdulillah, it's finished. The joy should not be when it's done. Joy should be in salah. Okay? This is how we train ourselves and I train our children not to feel everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered is not a burden. Nothing is a burden. Everything is for my benefit. Everything he has ordered, do this, do this, do this, helps me. Everything that he has forbidden is for my benefit. It doesn't make any difference to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If I get drunk every night, you think it makes anything, any difference to Allah? No. If I commit zina, if I commit murder, it doesn't matter to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I am harming and doing dhulm to myself. So everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has protected us, every time a parent tells a little child who doesn't know, "Don't do this," it's not to punish the child, it's to protect the child. You know, if you do this, if you run on the road, you could get hit by the car. If you put hand on the fire, your hand will burn. Don't lean out of the window because you could fall and hurt yourself. Everything Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us is harmful. He says, don't do it. And not just physically harmful, but spiritually harmful. Okay, that this will take you away from me. Don't do it. So understanding these things and seeing and analyzing, do they have the desired effect on me, on the state of my heart? This is very, very important, because if we don't find it, then we have to work on it. For example, if we don't find it in our salah, we have to work and see, what can I do to make my salah that it fulfills the objective? That it cleanses me. That this is for the dhikr of Allah. Do I remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala throughout it? Do I feel close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in sajda? And so on and so forth. All of those things we look at, and then we work on seeing what is happening to improve the state of our ibadah, starting first with salah. Okay. Again, we should not be in a hurry. We should know what we are doing, what we are saying, what the positions symbolize. You know? Do I feel when I bow in ruku, do I feel that I am in submission to you, Ya Allah? When I'm in sajda, do I feel that closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? When I say, every time I say, Allahu Akbar, do I feel that Allah is Akbar, greater than anything else and everything else? When I say, Subhana Rabbi al-Azim, do I feel his azima, do I feel his, and so on and so forth. We should feel and know. If we don't know the first step, you cannot focus and concentrate in salah unless you know what you are saying. What is the meaning? If we don't, we are just like a parrot. We are repeating things from the sound, not knowing the meaning. So, to focus, we need to know exactly what we are saying. We need to reflect on every act. When you raise your hands, what does it mean? When you fix your eyes down and not move, look around, you know, what is it symbolizing? It's symbolizing I'm in stillness. My eyes are in stillness. My heart should be in stillness, focused the same way. Looking towards its Rabb. Okay. All of those things, when I bow down, when I get up, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, everything has a meaning. Similarly, the words that we recite. So whatever we memorize, we should know and we should feel that meaning. That helps in focusing and concentration. We should try and leave all of those things. Why are we told, okay, your bladder feels you need to go to the bathroom? At that time, doing salah for you is makruh. You should first relieve yourself so you are in ease, you're not in a hurry. Then you stand in salah. Because if you say, okay, I already have wudu, and let me finish the salah quickly, then I'll go and relieve myself. Otherwise, now, during salah I'm uncomfortable, my thought is on my bladder. What kind of salah am I going to offer? The Rabbul Alameen is in competition with my bladder. Think of it. Go do what you're supposed to. Opportunity to do another wudu, freshen your wudu, then come in comfort and ease. Similarly, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us that when food is served, eat first. Unless, of course, the time of salah is gone. Then do your salah. Why? Let's do salah quickly so we can go and eat. Right? You smell the food and the appetite, the lower nafs of hunger gets going. So take care of our needs before and every act of ibadah. If you're going to read Quran, prepare the same way. This is the adab of leading up to an act of ibadah. And all of that matters. When we're doing wudu, just reflect, where am I going? What am I doing? Slowly, properly, deliberately, with reverence. Not, you know, I'm chit-chatting with you, and yeah, I'm doing this. You know, we have this business to do at the same time wudu is going on. No. So, give every act of ibadah its due, then we will see the difference it makes in our lives, and the effect it has, and the joy it gives. And if it gives you joy, then you come back for more. More than 90% of Muslims who have said La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah in the world do not pray 5 times a day. The most fundamental of obligations. The act that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves the most. You'd be surprised when you travel, you find out from people, even people who are righteous. The children tell us in Sunday school, who we think are very good people. So my parents don't get up for Fajr. One time one father came to me many years ago. He was a good person, good people. He said, what are you teaching my daughter? I said, what happened? I got worried. He said, every morning she comes and tries to wake us up for Fajr. I said, Alhamdulillah, we are teaching her right. You see, so you're surprised, it happens. I mean, sometimes you oversleep, that's a different thing. But being aware, people hear adhan. You can see in the marketplaces where there are masajids and Muslims all around, adhan is called. See how many people leave their work. See how many safs, sufuf are full. Masajids are empty. Handful of people, if you really take percent. And it's not about Hyderabad. You go to Cairo, big masjid. People are sitting in the cafe, doing their argila, doing their coffee. They will not move to just from here to there to go to the masjid when the salah is called. Muslims. It's everywhere. Why? Because we haven't understood what it means. We haven't recognized who has ordered us. So, when we obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and perform these acts, the effect of that is cleansing, tahara of our inside, of our nufus. And as soon as we have that, the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the khashya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the hubb, the love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the gratitude for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increases. And when all of that increases, what does it do? It wants you to do more. So it's that sort of a cycle, as opposed to doing less and less and less. And that's what happens. You drop some act, then you will see you become more and more and more disobedient. So, we should look at ourselves, and again, this is not meant to be a criticism for anyone or a reminder for anyone else other than myself, that we need to work and make our lives such that every act of obedience, everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered us becomes beloved to me. I love to do that. Everything that he has forbidden for us becomes hateful for me. You know, like I have repulsion. Like most Muslims have repulsion for khinzir. You know, you bring them. Oh, you say, you want to eat? I say, no, what are you talking about? Because it's instinctly, it has become like that. But every act, ghiba should become like that. Namima should become like that. Lying should become like that. Because all of these acts carry a smell, a bad smell in the spiritual world. Just like we have something that's rotten here, you know, it smells. You know, go into the bathroom, it smells. Similarly, acts of disobedience, of sinfulness, are smells, bad smells in the spiritual world. The angels, they feel that. So, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the haqiqah, the reality of all of these things, and affect our hearts in a way that every time we perform something, wudu and salah and dhikr and everything else, that it has a purifying effect on our heart and make our hearts aware of Him, of His greatness. And love to obey Him and love to follow His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and to improve our akhlaq and to improve our dealings, our mu'amalat, and put this reality in our families and in our children and in the ummah in general, and give hidayah to those who have not yet been guided to the truth of Islam. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا نستغفرك ونتوب إليك